I think a lot about this kind of stuff. I do my best thinking on the bus. That's how come I don't drive, see?
You don't even know how to drive.
I don't want to know how. I don't want to learn, see? The more you drive, the less intelligent you are.
Okay. My fellow human beings here, and yep. Oh boy. That was a clip from the 1984 movie Repo Man. Repo Man has nothing to do with Federal Reserve repo operations. It is a reference to repossessing a vehicle in this particular case. The film stars, you know, Emilio Estevez and Harry Dean Stanton. Yeah, I don't know what to say, people, but it is Friday. It is January the 3rd, 2020. And I don't think I'm going to get too serious. Well, I don't intend to get too serious tonight. It's true, though. If you drive a car, maybe that does make you stupid. I don't know. I think riding the bus probably doesn't make you smart, though, does it? I remember owning a vehicle, and one of the things that I found remarkable was the level of stress it caused. Like, for all the money that went into owning a car, it just seemed to be a lot of fucking stress. And if you come back and say, well, I could not live my life without a car, all I can say in response is, wow. I mean, if we've gotten to the point in human civilization where we cannot exist without cars, then yeah, the coming decades will be very difficult for a lot of people. People, yes, very difficult. Yeah, I don't really know. I'm just here sipping my coffee. One of my sisters gave me a big old box of this. I don't know, it's from Kirkland Coffee, Keurig Coffee from Costco. I can't truly say if it's the most environmentally righteous way to drink coffee. What I can tell you is, given the scale of my existence compared to most people I know, please don't ask me about my carbon footprint. It was repossessed. Yeah, repossessed in February of 2018. And that doesn't really make me sad. Okay, am I really sad that that shitty Toyota Camry got repossessed? I think I paid about 60%, maybe 70%. So I probably owed Toyota Financial at that point I don't know, let's say it was 7 or 8 grand. And yeah, I probably, you know, could have held on to it and somehow paid that money back. And if you were to ask me, do I really think it was worth the money I'd paid up to that point? No. The car started falling apart the first year I owned it. It's just that ultimately I don't know, maybe I didn't give a shit enough to make it an issue. I wish I'd bought a used car. That being said, it got repossessed. Is it the end of the fucking world? No. Am I ashamed of it? No, not at all. No. That is something that bothers people. And let me just get this out of the way. If you want to convince all of your closest friends to bring back debtor's jail, feel fucking free. But please make sure the first people in line are the people at the top, because they have been going broke every 15 seconds my whole fucking life. And yeah, you say, well, they form LLCs, you see. They form limited liability corporations. Yeah, I know what they do. They hire fucking lawyers. I know that they use the system. You're telling me something I already fucking know. I'm not talking about what's legal. And I'm not talking about what you can get away with. I'm actually talking about the difference between right and wrong. So yeah, if you want to get with your closest friends and let's have a bring back debtor's jail so good old Uncle Dan can feel the pain of missing out paying the last 30% on a Toyota Camry that was falling apart, shit. Oh fuck, he stopped paying his student loans. Well, he came to the conclusion that he was probably lied to most those years, fuck. Yeah. Oh, and then there's the credit card from USAA. Here's the thing, folks. I'd already defaulted on a credit card to these people before. So, if you ask me, it's one of those fool me once, fool me twice scenarios. Now, does that mean it's right for me to have racked up 20 grand in credit card debt and then told a credit card company that ostensibly is there for veterans to go fuck themselves? Maybe it's not right, maybe it's not wrong. I'm neither proud nor ashamed. But I just listed my debts. I have a credit card I can't pay, I have a car that was repossessed, and I have student loans I frankly don't intend to pay, and I guess you can add one last month's rent for an apartment in Indianapolis. And if you took all those numbers and you added them up, it'd probably still be less than 100K. And if I actually was able to make any kind of money at this point in my life without going crazy, I'd probably try to pay it off, if only to participate using my VA loan, which I still haven't used, in this amazing housing market. I could get my credit score back, couldn't I? And with that VA loan, how good a credit score do I need, really? I don't need much of a credit score, I just need to lose all my dignity. You know, when the bankers call you up and they want to check your pubic hairs? Yeah. Anyways, I told you I wouldn't get serious in this podcast. Fuck me, I fucked up. I am not proud of being broke. I am not ashamed. I think it bothers people that I'm not ashamed. It doesn't seem to bother them that I'm not proud, but it really does bother them that I'm not ashamed. And what I'm telling you is I'm not, because there are too many legitimate fucking things to be ashamed about at this point in human history, especially if you're participating in one of these financial schemes that is ultimately victimizing a lot of people. A lot of people are being chewed up and spat out by this system. And you may think, oh, well, Dan, it's just the free market. Really, buddy? Because the free market wouldn't have central banks, dude. The free market wouldn't have police that you can call to enforce your broke-ass laws. The free market wouldn't be a statist as fuck and have all these fucking prisons and be waging wars on all the fucking continents of the earth. I think the free market wouldn't look like this. This is the Death Star, you fuck. And if you're accusing me of some horrible crime on the Death Star, I have to say you're a fucking idiot. But so there's worse things to be than broke, or a hippie, or a pothead on the Death Star. There's worse things to do than to be a layabout, or a failure, or middle-aged burnout. I mean, I'll admit to all the above, and guess what? I'm not really ashamed of it. It's not to say that I think it's something to be proud of. I'm simply not ashamed. Man, does that piss some people off. I gotta tell you, it does. Now, the shame of being broke tore my father up. It tore him up. The shame of not being able to make enough money or watching his economic situation go backwards, it tore the insides out of my dad. Arguably, the last 10 years of his life were his angriest years. And guess what? Those were the years where he basically saw an industry that had made him, you know, definitely a member of the middle class, and then had basically left him behind. I'm not defending him. You know, it's not even the issue. What I will say, it wasn't a free market that happened to him. It was the opposite of a free market. And in the world of lawyers and regulations, yeah, a little small-time logger is just not going to do that well. That's reality. But what I'm going to tell you is that unlike my dad, I'm not going to let this bullshit tear me up inside. No fucking way. Doesn't mean I don't get worried about making ends meet sometimes. Fuck. Everyone's got to eat. Everybody wants to get some protein. Everybody needs protein. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, but anger and sadness and shame over making less money during the last decade of my dad's life tore him up. And, you know, he was, quote unquote, part of the greatest generation. He grew up during the Great Depression. He fought in World War II. And if we had invaded Japan, I probably wouldn't exist and he probably would have died in 1945. We didn't invade Japan, not the home islands, and, you know, I exist. But believe me, history could have been different, people. History is often weirder than we can even suspect. There's a lot of weirdness out there these days. A lot of stuff about angel babies and cocaine rats. Weird worms that are rising out of the sewers. Strange tentacled beasts that are stealing babies. Chupacabra. Now, if your next question is, Dan, on this Friday, January the 23rd, excuse me, January the 3rd, 2020, fuck, these dates are fucking with me. If your next question is, buddy boy, how are you doing on your New Year's resolutions so far? And all I can tell you is, I'm not really making any headway yet. The next big issue will be church on Sunday. Do I go to church or not? I feel like I haven't gone in a couple months and people will look at me and say, oh, there's the guy that only goes to church sometimes. There's the sometimes Charlie. There's the sometimes churcher. Oh yeah, there's the guy who says he's a Christian, but he can't come join the congregation. Well, here's the thing, folks. I may feel no shame about debt, but interestingly enough, I feel shame over issues of, you know, spirituality, for example. If I've committed myself to Christ and I'm not going to church, I don't think that's something to be proud of. And yeah, I guess I do feel a little bit of shame about it. I'm not going to deceive you about that. But just because I feel shame, that isn't necessarily even remotely enough to make me go to church. I have to want to go to church. Shame is not the reason to do anything. Shame is something to get rid of. Shame is not a helpful feeling. It's not a helpful state of mind. And I will say, there are probably things we should feel ashamed about. And maybe once or twice in my life, I've done something where, yeah, legitimately, I should have felt ashamed. But mostly, we feel shame about crap that our society says we should be ashamed of. Like, for example, oh, you're overweight. Fuck, you're overweight. Well, listen, folks, I have been overweight most of my adult life, other than when I was in the army. And do I think my life is better off or worse off because I've been overweight? I truly can't tell you. I've known lots of skinny people with nothing but health problems. I mean, all they ever do is go to the doctor and get a new fucking pill. I've known lots of healthy, skinny people that are getting sick all the fucking time. And if you ask me, I think there's a pretty good chance that the problem with obesity is complicated. A big portion of it is modern life, right? I mean, the way we live today, you don't have to do a lot of work in contemporary America to eat. I mean, I'm not saying everyone eats. No, that's not true. But if you're in normie land, like if you have a normie job, yeah, it doesn't really require a lot of effort to go find food. And a lot of the jobs now are just not physical jobs. They're mental jobs. They want you to go write some code or edit some shit. They want you to surf the web. But there's not a lot of physical labor any longer, other than maybe construction. And even there, a lot of that ends up being augmented. The point is this, folks. The issue of obesity is complicated. So one portion of it is modern life. And another portion of it is diet. Our diet sucks. And there's no easy solution to that because basically the way we produce food now, the food ends up with a lot of calories, but it doesn't really end up with a lot of vitamins or nutrients. And that's a problem. That is a problem. So yeah, but I would add another thing too, and I've been thinking about it in recent years. And it's something to think about because when you begin to ask questions about when you begin to ask questions like this, what is the human immune system? Like, what is your immune system? Is it white blood cells? Is it antibodies? Is it, you know, your ability to produce the blood cells? Is your ability to flush your body of sicknesses? Is it the self-regulation and control of homeostasis to raise body temperature, to create inflammation, blah, blah, blah? What is the immune system? Because, you know, a lot of people growing up may have thought, well, the immune system helps you when you're sick. And that's true. But what does it mean to be sick? Throughout history, being sick might mean a couple things. And it's not just the modern world, folks. If you think that human beings created environmental poisons, yeah, we created more of them. But we didn't create them. There have always been poisons in the environment, naturally occurring poisons like mercury, like arsenic, like lead. There are naturally occurring elements and compounds and poisons that exist in the environment. And you know what? They've always been there. It's part of the natural feature of things. So here's my weird-ass theory. And I've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again because you know what? Everyone's going to try to lose weight this year, and I think you need to meditate on this. And I remember this coming up during the 80s. I really don't know if it was a 60 Minutes episode, but they were talking about Air Force men, airmen, and probably women too, but airmen who participated in the Agent Orange campaigns in Vietnam during the 1960s and 70s. They were getting cancer, but it wasn't like that predictable. Like, why did one person get the cancer and another person didn't? Well, one of the things they studied was exercise. Like, there were a lot of people who basically were a little overweight in the Air Force. They were exposed to Agent Orange. They didn't lose any weight when they left, and they may have even gained a little. And the fat itself, well, it's kind of a carbon sink. You know, there are a lot of toxins in our environment that more or less get soaked up by your fat. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's correct in terms of living healthy, you should be fat. What I'm saying is your fat may serve a purpose beyond just being a store of energy. It might actually operate as a kind of carbon sink or filter. It might operate as a means to firewall living things from a very toxic environment, which is to say that if this is true, then obesity could also be an immune response. Because the thing they found out was these people that were losing weight, these airmen that were exposed to Agent Orange and were losing weight, they were jogging, they were jazzercising, and they were getting cancer. And what was happening was is that Agent Orange, that was more or less trapped in the fat, was being released as the fat was being burned away. So here's the deal, folks. I don't know the complete explanation for obesity. I really don't. I can't tell you that it's one thing or another. I think it's a combination of things. But I also think, along with all the other factors, I also think it might be a kind of immune system response. I can tell you most of my life, when I was in the Army, I would get down to that, you know, last whatever 10 pounds of fat, and I could never lose it. There was just nothing I could do. And I was smoking cigarettes at the time. Hell, most of my PT tests, I was doing 2 miles in under 11 minutes. Or about 11 minutes, which isn't so bad. You know, that's not a world record. But, you know, for me at the time, it was pretty good. But anyways, even then, I still technically I was still a little overweight according to the Army. So I don't know. I don't know the full answer to that issue. But like I said, you know, I got off topic there. Society will try to shame you in a lot of fucking ways. Society will shame you about shit that frankly, it might be an issue. You probably don't want to be in debt. But does that mean you should want to have a good credit score? Because think about this. You don't get a good credit score by not being in debt. I don't know if you know that or not, but you get a good credit score by basically constantly being in debt and constantly paying it off. So you have a good credit score by participating in the credit card system. Well, here's the deal. It is good to be out of debt. I also think it's good to not give a fuck about your credit score. In fact, it might be okay to never want to go into debt again. Like, if you were to say, Dan, what if your situation became so different that you could pay off your debt and blah, 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 what would you do? Well, I can tell you one thing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't get a credit card. I wouldn't get a big mortgage. I would probably try to buy a house, but yeah, I would save money and buy it with cash. And if you're going to say, Dan, that's crazy because you could get a low interest. You know what? I could get a low interest loan. I could get a 30-year mortgage to buy a home in Seattle that is a piece of shit, but some stupid fuck is going to explain to me why it's really worth $800,000. And I could do that. I could do the 30-year, 800K house. I mean, I can't do it not working in Little Saigon, but if I changed my fucking attitude, if I got that good software job working for Willy Wonka's, and I was really nice and friendly and totally okay with whatever creepy fucking transgendered bullshit was being promoted that week, yeah, then I could fucking clean up my debt and get my VA loan and buy your $800,000 shack on a piece of property that's probably over some kind of Indian burial ground in West Seattle. Fuck you. Fuck you. If you think that's a life, you're full of it. And I gotta say, if you're one of these Seattle people that believes that it's better to participate in this housing bullshit, and then at the same time you're deeply fucking confused about homelessness, and I know I bring this up, but man, this pisses me off. What the fuck is wrong with you? Can you not add numbers in your head? Okay, it's basic economics. If you price the ability of any normal person from being able to have shelter, if you price that out of their fucking economic reach, they will be without shelter. Okay, that's it. Period. I guess you can build more low-income shacks. You can stack people like ants in an anthill. There are things you can do. But if people don't have affordable shelter, they will be homeless. God damn it, people are so fucking stupid. And again, you know what? The same people will talk about how, well, I think about consequences all the time. You really do? You do? You think about the fucking consequences? Look around. If Seattle is dying, it's because Seattle is lying and because Seattle is dishonest about what the fuck's going on. That's what's going on. Anywho, there's a lot of ways in which people will be shamed. What I'm telling you is don't be ashamed that you don't look perfect. If society is telling you you should, you know, weigh less, well, maybe you should. Maybe your life would be better. But don't do it because some fucking people tell you on Twitter or Facebook that you're fat or try to shame you into being something different. And if you happen to be in debt, or you happen to be poor, or you happen to be working two jobs just to get by, number one, do not feel shame. And number two, God bless you and hang in there. It's not easy. Hang in there. And if you're a drifter like me, you know what? You can carry the shame around if you want to, but it is simply a burden that is going to weigh you down, buddy. I know I went kind of dark there on this whole issue of debt. It's just, you know, and why am I being so honest? Why wouldn't I be? You know, you want to ask me if I'm a millionaire? No, I'm not. If you want to ask me, am I a wise investor? I don't know, but I can tell you this. For many years, I believed there were still markets in America. And when I say a market, I mean like a free market. And there are still quasi-free markets here and there, but for the most part, this is a closed system. And if you approach the system from the perspective that it's all Austrian and shit, you're going to go broke. That's what I've learned about the system. If you approach it from the perspective of anything Austrian or free enterprise, you're probably going to lose your fucking shirt. Now, of course, you could say, well, Dan, long-term, all of this will fail. But yeah, of course it will. But what the fuck does long-term mean? You know, we're basically members of the last, but the last greatest global empire, the United States of America. We are the last greatest global empire. I don't think there's going to be a global empire after us. I think the globalist stuff, that's a bridge too far. And I really don't see that working out. Now, maybe it will, but it will take some tremendous pain to get there. And that'll be a bloody, horrific world to get there. I don't think it's going to work out, folks. So, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. But if you approach the system from the perspective of free enterprise, you're going to go broke. If you approach the system as if it's crooked and filled with rackets, you're probably going to do better. And if you happen to know things because you have people who are quote-unquote friends who will tell you things like if Powell's going to, you know, reduce the Fed funds rate from 225 basis points to, I don't know, 1.2, if you 120, if you knew that, you know, hey, it's going from 225 basis points to 120, I got inside information. Fine. And I'm not going to judge you because I know it's a crooked system. For years and years and years, I still wanted to believe it wasn't that crooked. And I mentioned this in other podcasts, but the flash crash in 2010, you know, about it'll be soon the 10-year anniversary of the flash crash. I think it was May, wasn't it? May 2010, wasn't it? Anyways, definitely the springtime. Yeah, the flash crash was the moment I realized how fucking crooked the system was. Like, I had suspected for a long time that there was some weird shit going on as far as buying and selling in the markets. It was almost as if sell orders were deliberately slowed down and buy orders were deliberately sped up. And it looked weird. It looked as if buyers were always going to win. And I did not want to believe that the system was that crooked. And then the flash crash happened and I said, holy fuck, this is crooked. This is not just crooked, but this is kind of like communism, but for people who are rich and shitty and scummy and have Ferraris. This is communism for people with Ferraris. This is fucked up. Now, maybe other people came to their conclusions earlier. And you know what? God bless you. It took me a long road to realize who I was, and it took me a long road to realize how broken the system was and is, and how unfixable it is. Like, no amount of voting is going to fix this. So no, I don't know if I should have been so honest about the debt. I have been honest in other podcasts, and yeah, like I said, if you took all my fucking debt and you put it in a pile, I'd probably still be less than 100K. And is that the worst? No. But I simply don't have the money to pay it right now, and even if I did, I truly don't know if I would. I simply have the position, and this is why I'm probably going to go bankrupt. I'm simply of the mind that we live in a system so crooked that people that have put the future of the human race in jeopardy using debt and never intended to pay it back, these people are lionized, and you know what? They'll fucking publish articles. Like, they were doing this back in 2009, how Ben Bernanke and Timothy Geithner saved the world. They saved the world. TARP 1 and TARP 2 and all the fucking bailouts, all that fucking bogus racketeering saved the world. So no, not only do I not feel guilty, but I kind of think that if these fuckers can kind of live in that world where they basically treat their obligations like they don't exist, then yeah, I don't feel so bad about the fucking student loans where I fucking went into debt so people could lie to me. Because I kind of think that's true. I think a lot of the professors, and they may not have even known it, but a lot of the professors probably taught me shit that was bullshit. And I went into debt to learn bullshit. Not all of it. Maybe only 70%. So I'll take the 70% reduction, and since I paid probably the 30% already, let's call that fucking even. And as far as the Camry goes, shit, that car was never worth half of what I paid for it already. You can keep it, call that even, fuckheads. Yeah, I've already liquidated most of my debt through those two processes of rationalization. And you could say, Dan, that's just you rationalizing. You know what? It is. I'm doing exactly the same bullshit that the mark-to-market pukes do with non-GAAP accounting. I am trying to convince you that there's something there when in fact there's nothing there but an empty big fat zero. No, I'm not proud of being in debt, folks. But if you ever intend to bring back debtor's jail, I promise you, I will not go without a fight. Okay? I'm okay having a negative credit score. I don't want another credit card for the rest of my fucking life. And as far as buying a new car with a loan, well, yeah, the first one I ever did is the last one I'm ever gonna do. Yeah, no, I don't give a fuck. I don't. And I'll say this too, that I don't think I'm alone. I think there are a lot of people who are simply, as a matter of practical existence, repudiating their debt because there is simply no way to pay it back. There isn't. I can basically eat and have shelter, or I can pay back these debts. And if I try to do both, I will end up in the streets. That's it. And if you want to say, well, Dan, can't you get that really great job at Microsoft? You know what? If I was 20 years younger, and maybe a different gender or a different sexual orientation or a different nationality, that might be true. I might land one of those really great jobs. But the fact is, they don't want people like me there. They're happy having me do the janitorial work. You know, the code janitor work. Hey, Mr. Roper, the script broke. So yeah, they like me being Mr. Roper and fixing the fucking scripts. But when it comes to actual creative work or leadership or whatever, no, I'm the wrong fucking skin tone for that. Wrong gender, wrong everything. Wrong age. Okay? And I'm not feeling sorry for myself. But guess what? That's why, add to the reasons why, I don't give a fuck about these other things. I don't. This is a broken fucking system. Broken on every level. People are so shocked. They'll hear about, you know, what, Lori Loughlin fucking cheating with a university to get her skids. I like that. Guess what? You're shocked, shocked, shocked. Why are you shocked? There is no rule of law. If you know the right people, you will be fine. If you know the right people, hell, you'll probably be sitting on a beach, you know, near Haifa in Israel, drinking champagne cocktails with your hookers and your mistresses, if you know the right people. If you don't know the right people, you're probably sitting in Belmarsh, slowly dying, being tortured like Julian Assange. That's reality, folks. So no, when I look at the world today and how fucking crooked it is, I don't feel guilty about owing the Student Loan Corporation or owing Toyota Financial or owing the fucking credit card company. I really don't. And I'm not proud of it, but I don't feel any guilt. And I kind of think a lot of Americans, that might be the first step to throwing these monsters off our fucking backs. The first step is to basically not just repudiate debt, we need to repudiate the fucking credit score. We need to repudiate this number that we think means anything. It means nothing. It means nothing of value. It means nothing of purpose. The credit score is not a measure of your ability to do anything other than acquire debt. And I don't know. You may think that's a great thing, a powerful thing. And guess what? If you're one of these folks who's made a lot of money flipping houses, because people have, folks, people have. It's not total bullshit. If you're committed, the last few decades, if you're committed and you're smart, you could have made some money flipping houses, but you would have had to either know, consciously or unconsciously, that the system is crooked as fuck. It is. If you made money flipping houses for the last 30 years, the conscious or unconscious premise in your head is that the system is crooked as fuck. That's it. So yeah, if you approach the system from a crooked perspective, either consciously or unconsciously, you can make money, okay? You can take out those loans and flip those houses and dump today's problems on tomorrow's people. You can totally do that. And I don't know when it stops or how long it lasts. Believe me, one of my great mistakes that led to my great debt calamity of 2017, one of my big mistakes was believing back in the early 2010s that we were close to essentially U.S. dollar collapse, you know, basically the repudiation of the U.S. dollar. And I was buying silver and I was putting it in a safe and I was convinced we were weeks away. But I just did not realize how truly crooked the system was. Like, I still believed there was some type of check and balance functionality to the system, that it was on some level still a free market. No, folks, this is a very Stalinist system, folks. This is a Death Star. It's not free enterprise, okay? Maybe there are black markets on the Death Star. Maybe there are, you know, weird little hallways where you can trade secret deals. But in no way is there a free market on the Death Star? There really isn't. So as one slave to another, I choose my battles. And one of my battles is not to fucking spin and spin and spin on the question of why am I in debt and what will happen to me. I don't really care. I don't care. My credit score is probably zero. It should be. I would like it to be. But I just don't give a fuck. It doesn't measure anything about you or I except for our ability to get a loan to do something we probably can't afford to do. So it sounds a lot like a mark and not a good one. In fact, you know, people back in the day claimed the Social Security number was the mark of the beast, right? It's the mark of the beast. If you take a Social Security number, you're already doomed. And believe me, I think Social Security is total fucking bullshit. It is a total crocodile gimmick. It is very much a pyramid scam. And yeah, it cannot work long term. It can only work until it doesn't, though, right? Like every pension fund. Every pension fund in this country. Yeah. Totally solid. Yeah. I don't know. But what if the real mark of the beast, what if the true mark of the beast is the credit score? What if that credit score is really telling you how close you are to Lucifer? Because I gotta say, 2015, my credit score peaked at 777. Now that's not the best credit score, but I gotta say, in 2015, I was 777. And probably by last year, essentially, I was somewhere, you know, in the unmeasurable category. Like, I don't even know if they measure credit scores as low as mine. It's probably everybody ends up being 100. And that's another thing too, folks. If I'm right about the crack up boom scenario, one, it's entirely plausible that we have a little bit of what I would call a micro jubilee, something bigger than the whole tax refund thing, but probably not a full Jubilee. But I could see the feds basically coming along and saying, you know what, times are tough. People are trying to make ends meet. We're going to have to bail out the banks again. Yeah. Well, if we're going to have to bail out the banks, shouldn't we bail out the American people first? So that could happen. And do I think that's sound financial policy? No. But if you believed in sound financial policy, you'd probably recognize that this whole housing pyramid scheme thing is bullshit. So stop with that bullshit. It's not sound. It's as crazy as every other fucking thing we've done as a nation, as an empire, as a Death Star, my entire life. It'll be just one more form of crazy. But that could happen. It could happen. We just don't know. We are in uncharted waters, folks. We will really wake up. We will wake up to this debt issue, I think. Maybe we'll wake up to it, finally, when the first pension funds start failing. And you'll say, pension funds can't fail. You know, I know this is going to be really hurtful to some people. And I know you don't want to hear this, but everything and anything created by a human being can fail. If the definition of failure is that the object or system gets into a state that is unresponsive, unrecoverable, and provides no value, then guess what? Every single fucking thing a human being has ever built, designed, created, will, has, does eventually fail. And that includes pension funds. I know you want to believe pension funds can't fail. And here's the thing, folks. Maybe pension funds, quote unquote, cannot fail. But what could fail is the fiat currency that's underpinning them, or the really bogus financial markets that provide their quote unquote value. Their year-on-year value, their fund growth. I hate to break it to you, but there's a lot of shale oil bets, a lot of Facebook, a lot of Apple, a lot of fucking bullshit is in the CalPERS pension fund. Probably even exposure to Chinese corporations. Okay? There's a lot of nasty crap. You know, I don't know this for a fact, so full disclosure, you know, saying this up front. My intuition tells me, take that as it is. My intuition tells me that CalPERS is probably filled with a lot of junk. Junk bonds, literally and figuratively, just a lot of junk. And if that's the case, then guess what? CalPERS could be one of the first ones to fail. The Illinois pension systems could fail. Folks, these systems are already failing at a municipal level all around the country. So if you say things like pension funds can't fail, I think you're deluding yourself. I really do. Not only can they fail, but they can fail in a lot of different ways. Like you could get, you know, let's say you're getting $1,000 a month. And today that $1,000 a month pays for, let's say, half, you know, or most your rent, for example. So it helps. It doesn't do everything, but it helps. Well, what if the value of the dollar drops so much that it only pays 10% of your rent? You see, that's what can happen. It can happen, and frankly, it has happened. If you look at the quote-unquote cost of living adjustments that the government does, they're mostly bullshit. They're based upon fantasy inflation, okay? Inflation that has never matched reality. So not only is it possible for this to happen, it's already fucking happening, folks. Wake the fuck up. And I don't want to get into a debate about steak and hamburger and a lot of bullshit about, well, damn, there's not inflation because people have been moving from steak to hamburger. Oh, God, take your hedonic adjustments and your fucking Greenspan and all your Federal Reserve bullshit and shove it up your ass, okay? Steak is not hamburger, and if you're adding pink slime to the hamburger, your hamburger's probably not hamburger. Just saying. Thank you. anything created by people can fail and probably will fail, and that includes everything, including government, okay? Period. Whatever fantastical things you want to believe, if you don't think that's true, then I don't know. Have you ever read a history book? There's a reason why there are chapters, people. There's a reason why there are many lists of kings and queens and emperors and empires. Anything that can come into exist in this world can wither away. In fact, it starts withering away the moment it arrives. That is reality. So, yeah. The next few months, the next few years, I think are going to be pretty interesting. And a lot of people will lose money that they thought was there. It was never there. Just, you know, piece of advice, if you do lose a lot of money in the future, the near future, that's money, that value was never there. Okay, we're talking about pixie dust at this point. Everything in the system is pixie dust. So if on the last day when everything blows out like that Corolla with the nitrous injector on it, if on the last day when the cylinders shoot through the fucking top of the fucking engine block and out through the fucking hood of the car, if on the last fucking day you find out that everything, your 401k, your pension, all of it, all of your investments, your ETFs in gold, yeah, your paper gold, if on that day you find out that it was all pixie dust, at least somebody mentioned this. Even if it was a drifter, even if it was a loser piece of shit, debt-ridden, hippie-ass drifter in Little Saigon, at least one person mentioned to you, guess what? Probably what is in all those things right now, the 401ks, the pension funds, all of it is make-believe. And there's no way to tell when that make-believe stops being believed. I don't know when that is, but when that day comes, it all disappears. It's one of the reasons why it makes sense to think in terms of hard assets, because guys, at some point the music stops, and if you're not holding on to it, if you can't defend it, it's probably not yours any longer. There's probably a dozen people who think they own what you think you own. I hate to break it to you, but there's reason to believe that there are stocks outstanding at the New York Stock Exchange. We're talking Dow, NASDAQ, all the exchanges. There is a broken record of ownership. A lot of people have been researching this, and there's reason to believe that we've had a broken record of stock ownership for about a decade now. So when the music stops, I don't even think they'll ever figure out who owns what. Okay, it is all pixie dust. It is all make-believe. And when the music stops, it'll be like you were in a dance hall and they had those smoke machines and someone opens the door and the wind just blows out all the smoke and there's nothing there. When the music stops. And if we decide to get brutal, if we decide when the music stops to get brutal and to bring back debtors' jail and to toss people into the streets and to reward the bankers, of course, reward the bankers, give them giant checks, reward little people by giving them prison cells. Yeah, if we go down that road, people, that ugly, dark-ass road of beating up on the poor, because that's where this is headed, okay? Beat up on the poor, throw the poor into the streets. If it weren't for the fucking poor, we'd all be rich. If we go down that road, things are going to get really ugly really fast. I hate to break it to you, but there are more poor people than rich people. And even a lot of the poor people in the United States of America are pretty fucking rich compared to most of the people on planet Earth, including Uncle Dan and Little Saigon. That's something to remember. As meager as my existence might be, as rough as it might seem to some of you, I live better than probably 80% of the people on planet Earth. Think about that. Because what that says is, most of the people on planet Earth live worse than me. They have less access to fresh water. They have less access to food. They have less access to everything. And when the music stops, guys, the lights go out, the cops do not answer calls. And that 8 out of 10 people that are living worse than all of you and all of me, those people go out into the streets and they're going to get what they need. That is reality. We have so brutalized ourselves, we so brutalized the world, we have so spread the gospel of violence as a means to an end. What do you think's going to happen? We have been going around the world for 20 years, more than 20 years really, my entire fucking life plus. We have been going around the world telling people how to live and stealing their shit. How do you think these people will treat us when the music stops? Do you think they'll treat us better than how we treated them? I hope so. I hope it's like the orca whale. They just don't take any kind of vengeance, really. I hope so, but I don't think it's likely. Because whereas orca whales may not have an instinct for vengeance, humans, humans love their vengeance. Humans love it. Humans hold on to it, believe me. They hold on to their grievances and their vengeance. They hold on to all these issues and all the ways they've been slighted, and they'll hold on to them till the day they fucking die. Their anger, their hate, their vengeance, and guess what? I'm a human too. I probably do the same thing, right? I probably do. I do. So I promised a podcast that would be low stress, and I think I delivered one that was mostly a lot of just negative bile and a lot of me talking about my own bullshit. And I guess I owe you an apology. In fact, I don't even feel like asking for donations at this point. Yes, there'll probably be links in the description for donations, but given the kind of attitude I've had tonight, I don't even know if you should donate. What I can tell you is this: if you donate, I'm going to pay for shelter and food and the things that allow me to exist before I pay Wall Street. If you're going to ask me if you donate, if any of those dollars will go, if I can help it, to Wall Street or blowing things up, blowing people up in other countries, if I can't help it, if I can avoid it, none of that money will do anything but, you know, keep up Uncle Dan podcasting. I can promise you that. And yeah, if I miraculously become rich in the next year, I probably won't have a choice given my general strategy concerning the crocodile and whatnot. Yeah, I'll pay off all my fucking debts. I will negotiate them down. I'll pay them off. And if that happens, great. But, you know, I'm a 50-year-old man, so I'm not waiting for any kind of fucking pirate miracles. And if you're wondering, do I have it in me to write code for the last 10 years because they're all telling us they won't need code writers 10 years from now? Do I have it in me for the next decade to be a janitor at least 6 months a year? Probably. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I really don't know. I can tell you that I'm okay living at this scale of existence, but the problem is the system now is not really gauged for this kind of continuity. That's another interesting feature of sclerotic and broken systems. They become not just caste systems, but they become limited caste systems, which means you don't have 50 categories, you have like two. There's people who are poor, and there are people who are not poor. And that's it. Those are the two categories. Are you poor? Most people are. Most people are trying to make ends meet. Most people I know are scraping by, and these are the good times, according to Trump. They were the good times under Obama. These are the good fucking times. Can you imagine what will happen when the times aren't so fucking good? Can you imagine that? If these are the good times, if these are the fucking salad days of America, what the fuck do things look like when things go bad? Because I gotta tell you something, my dad died in 93, so I can't ask him, Pa, what was it like living in the Great Depression as a kid? Those were conversations, we didn't have a lot of them, okay? So I can't go to him and say, hey, Pa, what was it like? I can tell you one thing though, Pa, up in heaven, I kind of think we've been in a Great Depression for at least a decade, maybe two. And the only thing different between yours and ours is they are way better at lying about it today. They have mastered the art of deception when it comes to telling people everything is great, everything is fine. I mean, the whole fucking building is on fire, but everyone is okay and everything is going to be just great. Thank you. everything's going to be great, right? Yeah, I don't know, folks. I got a little personal, and some of you may be offended, because you'll say to yourselves, Dan, are you basically saying it's okay to make a promise to pay a bill and not pay it? I'm really not saying that. I'm really not. If I truly had the money to do this, to somehow survive right now and pay this debt down, I would. But I don't. And if you're going to say, well, then you shouldn't have gotten that debt, well, I kind of agree with you. Seems to me that when you're poor, your options are limited. When you're rich, there are more possibilities. You can form LLC after LLC because you can afford the lawyers and the accountants to keep track of that bullshit. More than 100 years ago, a person could start a business by just starting a fucking business. That's what you did. You started a business. And if shit went sideways, guess who was responsible? You. And then we have a couple things occur. We start treating corporations like people. Wow, that was a great idea. And that's sarcasm, folks. That was a terrible fucking idea. Corporations are not people, folks. I'm sorry if that's confusing. They're not people. That was one of the first mistakes. The other mistake was the creation of these LLCs. Because from my perspective, they really only work for rich people. If you're poor, for the most part, they're a fucking headache. And frankly, most business regulations are a fucking headache for the poor. They're kind of designed to enable people who are already in positions of power. I've already mentioned this in the past, but rules, regulations, lawyers, the more of these you have, the less freedom you have. That's just, it really is that simple. Can you imagine how ugly things are going to get when the good times end? Because all the doping and all the poisoning and all the fucking bizarre theories about radiation from cell phone towers. You can tell me any story you want to tell me, but when the collective unconscious of America cracks open, wow. You will never have seen so much pent-up shit explode so quickly. And I don't know that anybody really knows how bad that could be. There are people who suspect it could be as bad as, like I've said, Yugoslavia, 1990s. When the collective unconscious of America splits open, it could be bad, as bad or worse than Yugoslavia, 1990s. And is this avoidable? Well, yeah, through kindness and freedom and peace. It's avoidable if we act like decent human beings to each other and we admit to each other and we admit to everybody that there is no way that the current debts outstanding will ever be repaid and that we repudiate debt. We repudiate a debt-based economy. We repudiate the idea that money itself can make money without effort. We repudiate this. We have to. It makes no sense for the ecology and it makes no sense for freedom. And in a free world, if somebody wants to start a bank and loan money, let them. But don't make other people responsible. Don't make taxpayers responsible. If that bank fails, guess what? That bank fails. If a depositor loses their money, that's sad. But there's a big difference between one bank failing and an entire economic system collapsing. A huge fucking difference. Anywho. I promised a low-stress podcast, and I fucked up. And maybe it's because I do feel guilt. Maybe it is because I do feel shame. I don't know. I mean, I really don't, but maybe I do. The more I talk about it, I probably do. You know, I had a family member ask me about this issue over the holidays, and I had to kind of process it. It's like, why would that be a remotely appropriate topic? And I thought, you know why? Because people just don't give a shit. That's why. And that's during good times, folks. Good times. These are good times. People got jobs, the lowest unemployment in 20,000 years. And soon we'll have negative unemployment. God, that'll be amazing, won't it, when the dead rise and start taking all those jobs that nobody can fill except for with Mexicans and Chinese people. Yeah, when the dead start to rise, then that will be interesting. And folks, you know the whole Mexican-Chinese thing. If you want to call me a racist, feel free. I'm not. But feel free to call me one, because I just don't give a fuck, okay? If these are the good times, can you even imagine what the bad times are going to look like? And if your basic premise is this cannot end, it will never end because it cannot fail. Nothing fails. It won't fail, Dan. Sure, the world GDP is roughly $80 trillion. Sure, the outstanding formal on the surface, on the plate debts, the ones that are above the surface, the ones that are public debt, private debt, the debt we know about is probably, I don't know, pretty close to 1,000 trillion, or at least half a quadrillion. And there's no feasible way those debts ever get paid off by the planet in any amount of time. And I am putting it in planetary terms, folks, because it is, I don't believe in globalist bullshit, but you got to kind of think of the debt as a kind of globalist problem, because it really was created by a bunch of globalist fucking schemesters. And on a global scale, there is no interest rate above zero where we ever pay off these debts. And these are just the quote-unquote formal debts. These aren't the derivatives. These aren't the credit default swaps. These aren't the dark pools of dark magic. These are the above-the-water debts you can see. Not the whole fucking iceberg. Some people think the whole iceberg is close to 4 quadrillion worldwide. 4,000 trillion. No, we never pay that off. Never. It never gets paid off, okay, ever. Except for, you know, uncontrolled default or hyperinflation. Then it gets paid off. Yeah, hyperinflation pays it off. I don't know. I fucked up. I fucked up. I promised a low-stress podcast, and I fucked up. I almost feel like I should just, I don't know. If you want to donate to this podcast, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. If you donate, you need to know that I don't want to use any of that money to help banks or the military, but I don't really have much of a choice because it's the system on the Death Star. And I guess I'm kind of in a crappy mood about that. So, have a great Friday, though. Go out on the streets, baby.